We say no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Will Bowen, number one international best-selling author, founder of A Complaint-Free World, and the world authority on complaining. Welcome to lesson five in this five-part series. So tell me, how did your homework go? You know, I know that since you're with me in these lessons, you are switching your complaint-free bracelet with every complaint, and I know you're keeping track of what day you're on. But how'd you do with the other part of your homework? Who were the five people you caught complaining to gain power? You know, really, that should be pretty easy. Watch people during coffee breaks at work, as they try to gain power by complaining to coworkers. Watch family members complain to pit one part of the family against the other. Your Facebook feed probably has stories of an organization complaining about a situation to get power in the form of money and support. Heck, if you want the greatest example of complaining to gain power, listen to just about any talk radio show. Remember, the formula is simple. Enrage someone and you engage them. Talk about things that upset people and they will tune in to your radio show. The more people who listen, the more power you have. Engage people and you have power, because the greatest power is a strong following of people. Continue to notice when people complain to gain power, and be very wary of people who are complaining to garner your support. You see, they're building a power structure and they want you to be one of the bricks. Remember that power is defined as the ability to control people and things. And the greatest power you have is your ability to control one and only one person. You. Self-control is power. To improve your life and your world, you have to begin to understand that self-control isn't some great quality you aspire to have. No, your life is already under your control. Your thoughts, your words, and your actions, all of which are under your control, create the circumstances you call life. What most people do is complain about the circumstances but never address the cause themselves. It's like complaining that a mirror makes you look bad. No, the mirror, just like life, is neutral. It reflects back what is presented to it. Self-control isn't something you've got to start doing. It's something you're already doing but should begin to do with intention. It's like life is a car. You're already driving, but you're not aware of it. Begin now to seize the wheel and point your life in the direction you want to go. And remember that you hold the steering wheel. You decide when to accelerate and when to slow down. And most importantly, you get to decide your destination. This is the great power, the ability to control yourself. Self-control. Now, to be honest, you may not have exercised that control to the extent that you would have liked in the past, but going forward, you now not only understand your power to control yourself, you've developed it. You see, it takes self-control to change your complaint-free bracelet with every complaint. But the interesting thing is that every time you switch the bracelet, you're also building self-control. That's just another great benefit of the complaint-free practice. By default, you increase your self-control. You increase your personal power. You have the self-control and the power to transform. You know, the word transformation is used so much that its meaning often gets overlooked. The dictionary defines transformation as, one, a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance, and two, a metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. So once again, transformation is defined as a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance and a metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. The complaint-free transformation that is taking place within you now fits both of those definitions. Right now, there is a thorough and dramatic change in form or appearance that is going on with you. Notice one word in this definition, thorough. Thorough means complete. It means total. When you stop complaining and to begin to address the world with praise rather than condemnation, a complete change begins to transpire. You begin to shift and see more of what's good and less of what's bad, more of what's present and less of what's missing. And when you do this, you begin to emote those positive feelings. And as you radiate positive energy into the world responds. You know, I know it sounds simplistic, but it's just the way it works. People and situations respond better to a person with a calm and pleasant demeanor than to someone who is an irritated and critical person. Your complaint-free transformation will be both dramatic and thorough. You can't even begin to fully understand how much better your life is going to be in every way when you stop habitually complaining. As you look back on the life you lived, filled with complaining, criticism, and gossip, you'll see how thoroughly and dramatically things will have shifted for you when you become a 21-day champion. Hey, you want to know what's always bugged me? When I hear people say with sad resignation, you know, they sound like Eeyore, you know, people can't really change, not really. When they say this, I always think, what a load of nonsense. I have seen people who have taken on the complaint-free challenge change into better teachers, better lawyers, better chiropractors, better restaurateurs, better parents, better videographers, better children, just simply better in every way. And this isn't just here in the United States. This is worldwide. Remember that more than 40% of our complaint-free bracelets go outside the United States every month. And the stories of transformation that I've received over the last 10 years have been from every age, every walk of life, and in countries, honestly, that I had never even heard of until a 21-day champion reached out to me via an email to thank me for changing their life. And that just blows me away. I always think, I didn't change your life. You did. Sure, you took on the 21-day complaint-free idea that I was fortunate enough to come up with, but you're the one who made it happen. But it's such an honor when someone gives my books and other resources credit for teaching them and inspiring them to make it. They did it, and so can you. Remember that. In fact, really, anyone can go 21 days in a row without complaining. You know, if your life depended on it, you'd make it. If someone were going to show up at your home and kidnap you on your complaint-free goal date, if you hadn't made it 21 consecutive days without complaining, you'd just do it. You would figure out a way. All of a sudden, the reasons and rationalizations about not complaining for 21 days in a row would go out the window. You'd no longer focus on not being able to do it, or how hard it is, or how long it takes. You'd be focused on doing it, no excuses. Transformation. Transformation is a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. When you take that kind of commitment and apply it to the complaint-free challenge, you will thoroughly and dramatically change in form and appearance. And life will change around you. Here's what I mean. Do you remember the movie Heaven Can Wait, starring Warren Beatty? In the movie, Beatty plays an NFL quarterback named Joe who dies too soon. That is, an angel takes Joe out of his body just prior to an accident to save him from the pain of dying. But the angel makes a mistake. because Joe, an all-star athlete, had the reflexes to avoid the accident and would have lived on. Rather than sending Joe to heaven prematurely, hence the name Heaven Can Wait, the powers that be put Joe's spirit into the body of a dying billionaire. Now, what makes the movie so cool is that we get to see how a very different man, Joe the football player, being in the same body, same circumstances, with the same resources as another man, the billionaire, now creates a completely different life. The billionaire's life is now being run by the spirit of Joe. Different person, different life. When you transform into a person who doesn't complain, life around you must transform as well. Different person, different life. Now, let's look at the second definition of the word transformation. A metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. You know, butterflies are the universal symbol for transformation. A butterfly starts off as a caterpillar. A caterpillar is just a little worm, but its destiny is to be something more, much more. And you know, I believe that's true for all of us. We really are destined. That is, it is our destiny to live happy, healthy, and prosperous. That's the truth of who we are. We're the butterflies, not caterpillars. But I think many people don't realize they have the power to transform, and they simply stay caterpillars. They might say they want to be butterflies, and they might complain about how other people become butterflies, but they don't. They don't realize it, but they're the ones who keep themselves from flying by complaining. Unlike caterpillars who are driven by nature to change, our transformation is a daily choice we must all make. Life tries to push us to change, just like the caterpillar. For us, life gets increasingly difficult if we don't transform into who we were meant to be. But we choose if, when, and how we transform, if at all. We're like caterpillars, and the complaint-free challenge is our cocoon. It's where we undergo our metamorphosis. It's where we change, where we become a butterfly. It's where we transform so that we can soar. You are transforming right now. You're going through a thorough and dramatic change in form and appearance. Your transformation will be thorough and dramatic. But did you notice that nowhere in that definition is the word quick? Transformation and quick don't go together. Okay, you might be thinking, but Will, you said that the Complaint-Free Transformation Program can help me not only successfully complete the 21-day challenge, but that I can also do it faster. Now you're talking about transforming, but doing it slowly. I'm confused. To which I say, I get it. Okay. If you were morbidly obese, like I was for so long, and you woke up one morning thin and healthy, it would feel amazing at first. But then, because you haven't had the time to change your lifestyle to support this new body, in a very short time, you'll be back on the couch eating king-size bags of Bacon Ranch Doritos or something else disgusting. A slow and steady transformation is always the fastest way, and it's also the best way to make sure the transformation lasts. That's the thing about human transformation that's different from butterflies. If we rush through things and aren't ready for the changed person we become, we will slowly turn back into caterpillars. You're changing into a complaint-free person a little every day. It may seem so slight that you're barely noticing, but it's happening. Remember to make haste slowly. Let me say that again. Make haste slowly. Don't run toward your goal, but never stop walking. The way you'll have the energy for the future, the time to transform, and most importantly, you'll enjoy the steps along the way is if you make haste slowly, because that's your life going by and you want to enjoy it. In this lesson, it's so fitting that we conclude our time together in this series by focusing on the E in gripe, which stands for excuse poor performance. You know, I don't believe it's our limitations that frighten us. I think it's our potential. I think that we're so accustomed to being ordinary rather than extraordinary that we've gotten very good at excusing our poor performance. In fact, studies show that if the people you surround yourself with are unhappy, out of shape, unsuccessful, discontent, have bad marriages and other relationships, hate their job, or some combination of these, you'll say to yourself, well, at least I'm not as bad as them, and you'll downgrade your potential to match the speed of the herd. It's a frightening thing to watch. You can have excuses, or you can have success, but you can't have both. Take that in for a minute. You can have excuses, or you can have success, but you can't have both. Before most people give up on themselves, they start building a case over time. They start looking for reasons to support their increasing desire to give up, so that when they do, they've got plausible reasons for not following through. Be very cautious. If you're starting to think of reasons why you might need to give up the complaint-free challenge, understand that making excuses happens before, not after, you give up on yourself. If you find yourself saying, life's just too crazy right now for me to do the complaint-free thing, or, you know, when I committed to doing this, I didn't know I was going to lose my job, or I didn't know I'd get sick, or whatever. It's time to remind yourself why you're doing this and to remember that thousands of people have stayed with it to success, even when life threw at them death, divorce, illness, job loss, and more. Develop an I'll do this no matter what attitude, and you'll be unstoppable. You know, if you think about it, complaining to excuse poor performance is really the past tense of complaining to remove responsibility, which is the R in gripe we covered in Module 2. In complaining to remove responsibility, someone is given a task, and they complain to build a case to explain why the job either won't be done or won't be done well. It's pre-excusing a failure which hasn't even happened. Now, with complaining to excuse poor performance, the person has already taken on a task and they've blown it. Maybe they didn't really give it their best. Maybe their heart wasn't in it. Maybe they thought they made a mistake along the way. Maybe they didn't even put in enough time or effort. No matter what the reason, they didn't get it done. That doesn't matter. And just like, well, everybody in the world, they don't want to jump up and shout, hey, I messed this up and it was totally my fault. That's embarrassing. And in my opinion, the concept that public speaking is everyone's number one fear is incorrect. People's number one fear is embarrassment. And public speaking is about the easiest way to get massively embarrassment threatens our connection to our social group, which, as we discussed in lesson one, in the G in get attention for gripe, a connection to other people is a critical need. People will do almost anything to avoid embarrassment. So the person bombs at doing something and they're afraid to stand up and take the blame for fear of being embarrassed. So they the buck. They begin to point the finger of fault at other people and situations. This draws attention for them and the mistakes, or draws the attention away rather from them and the mistakes they made. Do you remember our example of the woman trying to get her son to cut the grass in lesson two? The boy was asked to cut the grass, but complained about everything he could think of to get off the hook. He didn't want to cut the grass and was throwing out every kind of complaint to either convince his mother that mowing the lawn was a bad idea or to wear her down to where with her complaints, or with his complaints rather, so she'd leave him alone. So, complaining to remove responsibility is all about being let off from having to do something. That's complaining to remove responsibility. Now, by comparison, complaining to excuse poor performance, the Ian gripe, is about having messed up a task and not wanting to take the blame. And a lot of times, you'll see someone use both the R in gripe, remove responsibility, and the E, excuse poor performance, with respect to the same task. As an example, let's go back to our young man being asked to cut the grass. First he complains it's too hot to cut the grass. Next he complains that the mower isn't working. He's doing this to remove himself from the responsibility of cutting the grass. He's trying to get off the hook. Unfortunately for him, he's now tried the R in gripe, and it didn't remove him from responsibility as he'd hoped. So, he pauses his video game, drags himself off the couch, and shuffles out to the garage. His mom, thinking that the issue is resolved and the grass is getting cut, takes off in her car to go buy some groceries and run some errands. When she pulls back in after dark, she sees that the grass still isn't cut and her son is on the couch playing video games. I'm not going to kid you. That would be infuriating. But as she begins to berate her son for not cutting the grass, he tells her how he went out and tried to start the mower and it just wouldn't fire up. He said, "That old mower's a piece of junk. We should throw it out." All right. So the question is, did he want to cut the grass? The answer is, of course, no. He tried to get off the hook, but that didn't work. However, in his complaining to be removed from responsibility, the teenager had planted a seed in his mother's mind. There's something wrong with the mower. Even though she didn't buy it at the time, it gave him plausible deniability when she left. And he went out and gave a couple of half-hearted pulls on the starter. In his mind, he was probably thinking, "Please don't start. Please don't start. Please don't start." And when it didn't, he probably shrugged and went back in to play video games in air-conditioned comfort. But now, he has to deal with his mother's anger. So, he pulls out that seed he had planted earlier and blames the mower to excuse his poor performance. Now, mom could blow up at this point, and that's probably the most typical response, but that's only going to make her son cling to his excuses even more. The key to handling a person who is complaining to excuse their poor performance is to ask them how they plan to improve next time. Let me say that again, because this is our magic question for the day, or for this lesson rather. How do you plan to succeed next time? High,
creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high. Complaint-free world.